Good morning and welcome to everyone to Saturday of Inner Renewal Week. It's been a wonderful week. Divine Mother has blessed us with beautiful weather. You may have heard we changed the name from Winter Renewal Week to Inner Renewal Week because we kept having such bad weather, and it seems to have worked. So thank you, Divine Mother, and thank you all for being here. My name is Nayaswami Savitri, and this is Nayaswami Nitai and Nayaswami Maria, and we are your panel speakers for today. And our topic is the most important aspect of my spiritual life. So when I was handed that topic, I immediately panicked because because there's just got to be more than one. I don't know how I would ever hone it down to just one thing that would be the most important aspect of my spiritual life. There's so many, but I will do my best this morning to not talk too long about the things that have been so meaningful to me as a part of my spiritual journey, and really not my spiritual journey, because it's all of our spiritual journey. We're all doing this together, and the things that have happened to me, I sort of figured what they wanted with this topic is to have us tell some stories, so that's probably what most of us, we didn't really consult with each other on what we're going to say, so we'll see how it all comes out this morning. But I'm not going to tell you what I think is the most important aspect of my spiritual life yet. I'm going to see if you can guess by the stories that I'll tell you. For starters here, you may know that there is a book, both a book and a movie out called The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Now, I've never read this book and I've never seen this movie, so I may be maligning it somehow, but I was always, I was intrigued by the title, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, so I'd like to subtitle my talk, The Five People You Meet at Ananda. And what I mean by this is the people who have been there have been so many, it would be impossible to come down to five people. But I just thought, you know, the very first five people I met when I came to Ananda taught me a number of very important lessons. So I thought I'd just tell you this story. This was 36 years ago on July the 17th, 1975. A Greyhound bus pulled into Grass Valley and let me out. And I had never been here. I'd never even been to California before. I'm a Southern girl, and I was cautioned about coming here. But I decided to try it anyway. And Parvati, who many of you know, pulled up in a little tiny Volkswagen Bug and met me at the bus, and she said, are you Jane? That was my name then. I said, yes. And she says, well, get in. And she looked a little unusual. She was all dressed in yellow. She was a nun. I didn't know it at the time what that was. And the first thing she said to me, besides, are you Jane and get in, was, I'm in silence. I said, what? I don't know what that meant. I had no idea. I had 100 questions about, and I tried out a question or two, nothing, you know. She was sweet, she was kind, but she just didn't have much to say. So we rode in silence from the Grass Valley bus station through the beautiful canyon. I decided, well, I just better be quiet too. What else can you do? And we rode down the beautiful canyon of the Yuba River, and I just couldn't restrain myself. It was so pretty, and I said, oh, it's so beautiful here. And she said, something like that. Oh, well. So she dropped me off down here at what was called Apprentice Village, which was just a conglomeration of shacks and things down there. And this was July, and they had told me, I'd written some letters back and forth to the people here and asking what to bring. They'd said, well, you don't need much in the summer. It doesn't rain here in the summer. It was pouring. It was raining in July. So she let me off at this little shed, and she said, somebody will be along soon to help you. And she just left me there, you know. But I'll tell you what I learned from that first experience with Parvati, God bless her, is I learned that I talk too much. And it's good to be silent. It's good to be inward. She's become a dear, dear friend, of course, over the years, and she's just a great soul and always so centered and so calm. So I sat down and under a little shed and looked around and wondered where I was and what was going to happen to me here. Didn't know a soul. Now I knew Parvati, but that was it. And I didn't know her well yet. And I saw coming out of the mist from the direction of what I later found out was the garden, a goddess-like figure. And I mean that literally. She came out of the mist walking towards me with a big, big smile on her face. And she said, "Are you Jane?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, hi, I'm Shirley." At this time, that was her name. Her name is now Kirtani. Many of you know her. She and her husband, Anand, are the spiritual directors over at Ananda Assisi. And she had just arrived that summer also. And she said, "Are you Jane?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, I've been working over in the garden. I hear you're going to work over in the garden with us. And our boss over there, Shivani, sent me over here to take care of you." She said, "Also, I wasn't feeling well. I got a bit of an upset stomach today. And she told me I could come over and lay down and rest a little bit and also meet and greet you. So come on in." Shivani had a little goat shed that had been converted into a little house there. And she said, "Come on in, I'll fix you some tea." And I honestly, she was like a goddess of love. She was so sweet to me. And I forgot about the fact that she had said she didn't feel very well. And all of my 100 questions then just started coming out. Okay, what is this place? And who is Swami Kriyananda? And why are you here? And, you know, all the things that people who have never been here would. I just, for 2 hours, I sat, and the poor lady who wasn't feeling well graciously and charmingly and very thoroughly answered most of my questions, because I had many more to ask as the time went on that I stayed here. But I was always so grateful to her for being so nice to me and welcoming me and answering my questions and just being what I've always called her, a goddess of love. That's what she saw. She and I became very close friends. We don't see each other now very much because she's in Italy and I'm here. But whenever we're together, there's always that bond. You know, God lets you have those bonds sometimes early when you first come onto the spiritual path. So in a couple of hours, then all of a sudden the door to the goat shed flew open and there stood Shivani. Remember, these are the first 5 people that you meet. Shivani also lives in Italy. If those of you who have not had the privilege of meeting her, this woman is a force of nature. She is a powerful woman. Okay. Before I leave the part about Kirtani, I wanted to say that the major lesson I learned from her is one that was to stand me in great stead as the years go by, and that is you need to live in love. And you need to learn to live as a disciple, as a devotee, outside of the bounds of your own comfort, outside of your own comfort level. I know at the minister's retreat, Jyotishin Devi have often reminded us who are ministers or light bearers here that Swami has said the way we select ministers here is to look at people not for how they're trained or how much they know about the teachings, but for their willingness to help others even when they don't feel good themselves. Now that is a wonderful definition, and that's what she exemplified to me. It took me weeks later to realize that I had probably been torturing my poor friend Kirtani, because here she would like to have just laid down and felt better. I had a little stomach virus earlier this week, and I tell you, if anybody had come to me and asked me why Swami Kriyananda was not a part of SRF anymore, I'd have punched him in the face. I was feeling really sick, and I didn't feel like talking to anybody. She graciously answered my questions, and just the goddess of love. And then Shivani enters in the room, and she says, "Hi, welcome. We've been waiting for you to arrive at Ananda." And I thought, oh, boy, this is getting better as we go here. And she said, "I want you to have dinner here with us, with a few friends here tonight. And do you cook?" I said, Yeah, and she said, oh, I brought some broccoli from the garden, but I don't know how to cook it, so come. I said, you don't know how to cook broccoli? So she took me into the kitchen, and she says, well, there's some things. How would you fix it if you were at home? And I said, well, I'd probably steam it and make a little cheese sauce for it. She said, that sounds great. Okay, so she got me going, and I okay. See, I'm fresh off the bus, fresh out of the South. You know, here I am cooking in a goat shed. And it's getting, you know, it's starting to get dark. It's still raining. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. You know, it's just real. Okay. So I cooked the broccoli we had. And for dinner that night, we ate it by kerosene light because there was no electricity in those days. And it was myself and Kirtani and Shivani. And then here's the fourth person of the people that you meet at Ananda. He's here. I see him back there, and he probably doesn't know I'm going to mention him, but I am, because he was there, and that's Prakash. Prakash and Shivani were the leaders of the apprenticeship program back in those days, and he came in to welcome me also. He was kind of quiet. Now, Prakash was all dressed in yellow also. He was tall. He was thin, and he had long blonde hair, but he had it all tied up on the top of his head in a little knot. And he was a very unusual person. And he didn't have a lot to say that night, although he said, meet me tomorrow and I'll give you a foot rub by way of welcome. And I said, oh, okay. Ananda was turning out to be full of very unusual and interesting people, wonderful people, but, you know, I said, okay. But that first little dinner of the broccoli that I cooked in that little cabin with this kerosene light meant so much to me, more than I can ever say, because I was already a disciple of Yogananda when I came here. I've been trying to do it on my own, but I'd never met another devotee, and I had never talked to anyone, and they were just chatting among themselves, and the conversation rolled around to Lahiri Mahasaya for some reason, and they were talking about the house, because Shivani had recently gotten married, and she was saying, I don't know what it means to be a householder, and they were talking about Lahiri and being a householder and what that would be like and the difference between that and being a monk or a nun, and this conversation, I was just eating it up. It was like I had been starving to death, and no one had ever talked about these things around me because I'd been going it alone, completely alone. I'd been trying to meditate. I'd been trying to. Shivani laughed so much at me the first time. She and Prakash led all the sadhanas. She led the morning sadhanas, and he led the afternoon sadhanas. And the very first one, she watched me energize. And the only way I'd ever known how to energize was by reading it off of a little piece of paper. And I had them all wrong. And she was very kind. She says, now, the first session, she said, why don't we meet and I'll go over these with you and show you, you know, how to do them correctly. I said, oh, okay. And I told her, I've been trying. She said, yes, I can tell you've been trying, but there's some things that you need to learn. What I learned from Shivani that night and as the years went by is that to meet this path head on with full energy, and that's the way she's always lived her life, and it made such an impression on me to see someone like her and to hear her stories of how she came onto the path and just what she wanted to do with her life as far as serving Master. And then I wanted to tell you what Prakash taught me also. This happened a little bit later on, but he was just talking to a group of people, and he sort of stopped everything and what he was saying, and he said, you know, God has given me a very great grace in this life. And I thought, gosh, I wonder what he's going to say. What is this very great grace? I thought he was going to reveal some sort of vision of Christ on a cloud, or I don't know what, you know. I was, oh boy, what's this going to be? He said, yes, God has given me a very great grace in this life, and that is to be able to hang on. I thought, hang on? That's it? But then as the years went by, I realized what an incredibly great grace that is, to be able to no matter what happens to you, the ups, the downs, the ins and outs, the happiness, the joys, the sorrow, to be able to hang on to this gift that has been given to us, the spiritual path. So have you guessed yet what to me is the most important part of my spiritual life? It's the satsang. It's the people that are striving to love God and to serve God. Now, I've mentioned four people, and I said this would be the five people you meet at Ananda. I was here for 2 weeks, and I had not yet met the person at Ananda who would be the most influential person in my life. And after 2 weeks, I went up to the meditation retreat and sat and listened to Swami Kriyananda speak. It's the first time I'd ever seen him or heard him. I'd never read any of his books. I just kind of figured out who he was in relation to Master. And I don't know what he said that Saturday. He gave a Saturday class. It was about 2 hours long. But I know he answered all my questions. And I know that somehow he transmitted to me personally, this is your family. This is your life. There's really nothing more that you need. And I just wept. At the end of the class, I just broke down and wept with joy because it was true. I knew it was true. I didn't know what the future would bring, but I knew that was the truth. And I knew that I couldn't do it alone. I simply could not do it alone. But I had to leave here after 2 months. I had to get on that Greyhound again and go back to Texas, where I was living at the time. I had to pick up my life, and I lived there for another 3 years, and those were not easy years. I was in a situation where I didn't think I could ever move here, and that I was just going to have to create my own satsang. I learned what that word meant, satsang. Sat means truth, and sang means fellowship, fellowship with truth. Satsanga, getting together with other people who are like-minded, who are like you, who are striving, who have the same guru, have the same teachings. I'm going back to this spiritual wasteland in Texas where I didn't know a single soul that was anywhere close to doing anything like what I was interested in doing. What was I going to do? And then I remembered those words that Swami Kriyananda said, that Yogananda had said, when a disciple came to him and said, "Sir, is satsang very important? Is being around other truth seekers, devotees, very important?" And Yogananda says, "Yes, it's very, very, very important to have good company, to be around other disciples, to meditate with other people who have been meditating longer than you have, all of these things." And the disciple said, "But sir, what if I am alone? What if there is no one else?" And Master very sweetly says, "Am I not always with you? Am I not always with you?" So I took those words with me, and I took my determination that if there were no disciples or devotees in the whole state of Texas, by God, I was going to make some. I was going to pull them out of the woodwork wherever they were. So I had a meditation group. I think at the most I had two that ever came to that little meditation group. I started teaching yoga postures. I'd never been trained. All I'd ever done is gone to sadhana with Shivani and Prakash for the 2 months I spent here that first summer. But I dutifully taught yoga, and I could hear their giving the affirmations in my head, and I was doing the best. I always felt that God really protects idiots and little children, you know. That's what my mother used to say, God protects idiots and little children. And I was both. So I never hurt anybody. Later on, I helped to establish, when Prakash first started the yoga teacher training, I helped him out with that. And for a while, I was the director of the yoga teacher training here after I moved here. Life unfolded for me in many beautiful ways. After 3 years, miracles started happening in my life that I couldn't even begin to imagine. This whole snowball effect happened that propelled me to actually living here. But as I'm giving this talk, I know that most of you who are listening to me here in this room, who knows who's listening to me out there in the internet land, those of you who are listening to me now live here. And that's a great blessing, but many of you don't. perhaps the majority of those of you who live here don't. So what do my words mean to you? What is satsang? How can you be around others who are seeking God? Well, do what I did. It worked pretty well. Remember that Yogananda said, am I not always with you? The Guru is with you, God is with you, Divine Mother is always with you. You have to call on that and remind them all the time. You said you'd be with me, be with me. But then create that space wherever you are. And what that means to you, I don't know what that means to you or for you, but you can do it. And if I can do it, you can. Anybody can do it. And just pray, how do you want to use me as your channel? Right here where I am now. There's a lovely prayer Yogananda has, where thou hast placed me, there thou must come. So here at the end of Inner Renewal Week, some of you are leaving us and going back to where you came from, just as I left here those many years ago. But I held that prayer in my heart, and it's never let me down. So what's the most important thing on my spiritual path? Well, it's God. It's gurus, all the gurus backing me up. Here they are behind me. It's Swami Kriyananda, who had the foresight and the courage to establish Ananda Village and all the other Anandas now. And then it's all of you. It's my spiritual family. It's my brothers and sisters. I bless you so much for being who you are. Thank you.